The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Good morning, Anthony Reich. How are you?
Okay, Tov. I was very amused by an article that I was reading that has no bearing on anything relevant to
this
discussion.
Oh, that's what we like.
But it's just like a link from Louis Carpus, which apparently a survey suggests that 40% of Americans think that they are fit enough to compete in the Olympics. I'm just going to park that one right there, and I'm going to talk about a very, very poignant story before we get into the main stories that we want to talk about. This is a story about 88-year-old Moshe Etzion, who was a resident of a kibbutz Nirim in the south, in the Gaza envelope area, the border of Gaza, and who was yesterday buried on the kibbutz. After he took his own life, he was a Holocaust survivor, and he lived. He passed through many, many trials and tribulations, coming from Krakow first of all, where he was born, ultimately landing up on Kibbutz Nirim, which he very much loved. The poignancy of the story was that that Moshe's son Zevik was the head of the security coordination on Kibbutz Nirim during Operation Protective Edge, and he was the last person to be killed in the final hours of Operation Protective Edge when a mortar landed nearby him, took his life. He left a wife and five children, a sister and his parents behind. Moshe somehow never really recovered from Zevik's loss, and on the memorial day, on the Yortzeit day of Zevik's death, Moshe took himself off to the cemetery, and he took his own life on his son's grave. That was the connection that he had with his son. A very, very poignant story. Apparently, his family suggested that he was weakening, he was ailing, he was getting older, and he didn't want to burden his family, and he decided to take his life not only on his son's grave, but indeed using the weapon that his son had always kept with him as the military security coordinator of the kibbutz, which he specifically asked back in 2014 when his son was killed, that he would like to keep it for his own sake, for himself, or as a memento. That was the weapon that he used. A very, very poignant and sad story to show the link between a father and a son, a Holocaust survivor from Krakow, through Tehran to Kibbutz Nirim. I think we should be proud of Moshe Etzion, and of course his family have done such good things for Kibbutz Nirim.
Devastatingly sad story, Anthony. But moving on to other news, CIA director arriving in Israel yesterday, and this against the backdrop of significant American policy changes, say in Afghanistan as well as Iran. Is this a concern for Israel?
The Iranian situation is clearly on Bill Burns' agenda as he begins his meetings through the course of today and probably tomorrow with senior Israeli officials. He's due to meet not only his own counterparts in the security establishment, but he will also meet with Prime Minister Naftali Bennett, and he will also meet with the new Mossad director who's taken office recently, David Barnea. Bill Burns is really here to talk about Iran and a lot of confusion around Iran and around the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, that agreement that was entered into between the P5+1 countries and the Iranian government all those years ago, and which is now up for further debate because, as we know, the Trump administration withdrew the Americans from participating in that agreement. The Joe Biden administration seems to have been very, very intent on returning somehow the American participation in that agreement. But things are not going so well in spite of the Biden administration's real determination, it seems, to somehow re-engage with that agreement. It's really not going that well. Iran has in recent months began to enrich uranium to levels of 60%, has begun to develop uranium metal, has blocked the attempts by the International Atomic Energy Agency to gain access to nuclear sites. This is all in contravention of that particular agreement. It seems as if though Bill Burns is here to talk about what alternatives might be available, not only to the U.S., but indeed to the world establishment, in order to somehow prevent Iran from producing the dreaded nuclear weapon that we think that they are headed towards producing. And of course, this also comes against the backdrop of the inauguration of the new Iranian president, Ebrahim Raisi. Yeah. He seems to be much more of a hardliner. He seems to be much less inclined to compromise to allow the U.S. government back into that Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action agreement. All of this bodes not well for the Western community in general, for Israel, for the U.S., and indeed even the Europeans are now starting to voice some concerns about things that are happening in Iran, in spite of the fact that they've insisted upon staying within that agreement. But now, for what we can see, at least from the outside, it's not going so well. It would be very interesting to be a fly on the wall in these meetings that Bill Burns will be holding with Israeli officials. I'm sure that most of what is discussed there, we will never really get to know about, or at least not anytime soon.
You didn't address the Afghani aspect at all. Is that not an issue from an Israeli perspective?
I think it's less of an issue. I mean, I think that everything that happens within the Middle Eastern context in general has some bearing on Israel. I think that in terms of the orders of priority, in terms of the scale of issues that Israel is having to address, I think Afghanistan is a much, much lower priority, certainly a much lower threat, direct threat to Israel than Iran is. We don't see Afghanistan coming out and declaring that Israel should be destroyed, showing its ability to destroy Israel, potentially producing nuclear weapons, which may well have sure. Israel's name written all over them. So I think that you know, the unrest, the issues that are going on in Afghanistan are certainly of some concern, but I don't think they're at anywhere near as high on the agenda as Iran is.
Sure. Let's talk about COVID-19. Israel infection numbers rising still, and yet students going back to school.
Yeah, so unfortunately, the situation in Israel where COVID-19 infections are concerned continues to rise. Yesterday, more than 5,000 new people were new diagnoses of people with COVID. The hospitals beginning to fill up more and more. What I would add is that, you know, in spite of the fact that Israelis have been vaccinated to a very, very high level, and indeed now something like more than 500,000 Israelis already having received the third booster dose of the injection of the vaccination, which the Israeli government is currently rolling out to the over 60s. But we expect very, very soon, perhaps within another week or two, that the over 40s will be called in to get their booster, third dose of the vaccine in order to somehow try to stem these rising numbers. The vaccination proved very, very successful, continues to prove successful in certain quarters. It's interesting that the R number, the reinfection rate number for those people who have been vaccinated is 1/5 in Israel of the R number of those people who have not been vaccinated. We do still have quite a fair number of people, something like 1 million odd people who have not been vaccinated, who do not wish to be vaccinated, who are refusing to be vaccinated for one reason or another. I don't necessarily intend to get into the whole discussion about whether people should or should not be vaccinated, but the scientific numbers show very, very clearly that there is massive advantage to being vaccinated, even under the current circumstance where the Delta variant is obviously running rife and people are getting ill, even those who have been vaccinated. So the Israeli Corona Cabinet has had to address these issues. Good news for people from South Africa who would like to visit Israel in the near future. South Africa is officially now off the red list, or at least will be off the red list when it's revised on August the 16th. Along with a number of other countries. So that red list has now really been slimmed down to only a very, very few countries: Bulgaria, Brazil, Georgia, Mexico, Spain, and Turkey. Those are the countries that stay on the red list. Most other countries are going to the orange list, which means that people who travel from those countries to Israel, whether they be Israelis, whether they be non-Israelis, whether they be vaccinated or not vaccinated, will be required to go into quarantine upon arriving in Israel for at least a week, in some cases a little bit longer, depending on the circumstances, depending on tests. And so that's at least some good news for people who want to move around, but all very, very cautious. And of course, a lot of preparations being made to start the school year in another few weeks' time. A whole series of tests will be undertaken within the school area, particularly for those school pupils who have yet to be vaccinated, as particularly in the primary schools. Under 12s are currently not eligible to vaccination. There will be serological tests that will be undertaken at the schools. There will also be rapid tests that parents will need to test their children for 48 hours before the start of the school year. There will be a whole series of serological tests to test children's antibodies. Those with higher antibodies will get certain ease of restrictions. Those with lower antibodies, not so much. But there is a massive program going on of testing, constant testing all the time, not only before the school year, but during the school year, in order to somehow learned to live with the situation, because I think the realization is that this is not going away anytime soon. And so therefore we have to find a way, find a system in order to be able to live with it. And that's going to involve masses of testing. It's probably going to involve boosters for vaccines, but it's going to involve trying as much as possible to keep schools and the economy running to the extent that it's possible.
Antony Reich, again, we are out of time. Clearly too much to talk to you about. Let's carry over Greece till tomorrow. As always, thanks for your input. Look forward to the discussion tomorrow.
Yeah, always lots to talk about. Let's keep going tomorrow.